We have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Mastalato.
Here.
Commissioner Fairbanks.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Hatley.
I'm there.
Commissioner Wriston.
Hi.
Speaking of, Commissioner Wriston is new to the board today.
Yes, I was going to do that. Welcome.
Thank you.
Bruce to the board today.
And, thank you.
I hope you enjoy your time here.
Well, thank you. I think I will. I came and did a tour with Glenn a week and a half ago.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Complete tour of the facility, and so.
And you survived it. That's good.
I survived it, and I survived the donkey.
Oh. All right, next item is the salute to the flag. All should stand. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, acknowledgement of visitors. Again, we welcome the new member from Twisted, Bruce Wriston. I don't see any of the visitors, so move on to the next item, the board meeting minutes. Anyone have any questions about the minutes or?
I'll make a motion that we approve the board meeting minutes for the regular board meeting June 23rd, 2021.
Second.
The motion and seconded to approve the minutes. Roll call, please. Or do we just do an aye?
That one is just a consensus, I believe. Yeah. Scott?
All in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Passed. Yeah.
Is he saying okay. Something?
I think he was saying consensus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, right.
Authorization of warrants.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I included the warrants in your, I'm skipping ahead. You yourself, Chairman Pittman, came down and we went over the warrants and I believe all was in order.
I would agree with that. I would make mention that one of the warrants that we went through that indicates our new legal representation for the months of February to May. Mr. Servek, could you explain to us how much that has cost us in potential savings?
Yes, so we are just under about half of what we would have paid for the same period of time under previous legal services. So so far we've paid Mr. Huber $3,560, and that would have been an $8,000 bill for us and the previous attorney before that would have even been more. So
it was funny that you bring that up because I was actually going to add, I never asked about these, and I was going to ask, so are we, is it going to be this type of way when we see this on the, his fees is like this 3 or 4 month block, or is this just because it's new and so this is it captured it from February to May?
So typically he will bill us monthly. There were some issues with billing from his end. Scott, you can maybe explain more details.
I apologize, Glenn. We had an issue with some billing software that decided to stop working. So we had several bills that came out all at once. We now have resolved that. We've got it all caught up. But typically, we get bills out during the within the next 20 to 30 days after the close of the month. Usually I like to eat them out by the 15th, but that doesn't always happen. And then what you're seeing there on the invoices is about typical. There will be, when projects come up, there will be some higher costs during that period of time, when there will be more substantial review of documents and what have you, but you should see some savings from your prior counsel.
No, I was going to say, I started looking, but wow, this is from February to May. I was like, this has to be a savings. And not only that, I mean, he had to rework the contract there was a lot of things that I felt that probably had legal services.
Definitely. No, Scott's gone above and beyond,
yeah,
to be honest. So. He didn't even charge us for January at all. And he sat in as legal counsel. He wasn't officially at legal counsel then, but he sat here in the meeting and gave us advice. You guys made a great decision.
More happy with that number for sure.
Same with me. I think you guys made a great call.
That he's providing. Sorry, I'll be quiet now.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because the board made a decision there, and I think the board's decision was pretty accurate for what we're doing. And in a way, with that, I'd indicate the warrants are all paid at the meeting numbers 26845 through 26917 in the amount of $563,391.98, including commissioner's check numbers 10075 to 10080 and electronic fund transfers.
Second.
The motion and second to pass the warrants. Roll call?
No, once again, I think this is, yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Warrant moves forward. Thank you. Fiscal reports.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, these were included in your packet for you guys to review. If you guys have any questions, I can answer them now. But everything seems to be going smoothly. One thing I will note in the, we did come out in the red on utilities. We came out 4%. We spent 4% more than we budgeted for. Overall, the budget at the end of the year was 7% in the black, so we didn't go over budget. But I did add to that utilities budget, so hopefully we don't go in the red again next year. But that is the only place that we didn't actually guess pretty good on that. So,
what are the memberships?
Memberships, so like CWEA, which is California Water Environment Association. We do testing through them. We do schooling through them. It's an association.
Okay.
We also have WEF, which is the Water Environment Federation. Same sort of thing. We have a couple memberships that we're involved
in. Okay.
Sometimes when you get the chance to go through all the warrants, you'll see all that detail, which is an interesting way to understand. In fact, there was one in there. Was it somebody's credit card to the Home Depot? And
yep.
We had to issue a void check because there was confusion over card working and not working or whatever. But it was nice to support those little details.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
You definitely will get invited to do it. Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody's happy about that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Any more questions about fiscal reports, Rourke, for June 2021? All right, we'll just take that as advisory and move on to RCPS design.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So this is, as directed by the board last board meeting, I got a quote from Jacobs Engineering for the design of the new Rudy Creek Pump Station. So that comes out to a cost not to exceed $398,040. My recommendation is that we go with Jacobs and push forward as quickly as we can with this project.
Any questions from the board member?
No. I make a motion that we move forward with contract with Jacobs Engineering for the design of the new Ruddy Creek Pump Station at a cost not to exceed $398,040.
I'll second that.
Before we vote on it, there's one question I want to ask. We jump to it. This design for the Ruddy Creek one will look at the entire potential service area of need that we may have. In other words, going all the way out to
everything that will pour into Rudy Creek, it will look at that. And
I just want to make sure that's understood.
And determine the capacity out there.
It is expensive, but when you look at the whole entire area and everything that's going to pour into that, it's very valuable to have that done.
Yes, sir. And they've also requested that we give them our future predictions for flow, which would encompass the growth and everything out there, so that they don't build it too small for what's actually happening.
So I have another question before we vote as well. Now, is this the one that the city is paying for?
Not the design. So in 1984, when the city and SCORE came to that agreement, the city agreed to pay for design, construction, and permitting. And I think in 1985 there was a design made that the city paid for.
Gotcha.
Now at that time SCORE chose not to push forward. Mm-hmm. I feel like the city has met their obligation. They paid for that design. So this $398,000 will be SCORE's responsibility.
Okay.
And if I may, this pump station is located where again?
In Thermalito, right across from the
just past 14th Street on the south side of Oro Dam Boulevard.
Where the trucker outfit is there just before the Wheeler, I think it is.
Right in that area right there.
Yeah, it's right across the street from that mobile home.
Because isn't that drainage that runs through there, that is what is considered
Ruddy Creek.
Ruddy Creek.
Ruddy Creek,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And the importance of that drainage is it drains straight out into the refuge. So that, not that any sewer spill ever would be acceptable here at SCORE, but that one for sure cannot ever spill because it will go right out to the
wildlife. Because it goes, yeah, so we got to make sure that one stays.
That's right.
Yeah.
And okay. Bruce, one of the things that we've talked about before in the board is all the other pump stations beyond that, the airport and the new subdivision.
Lakeside.
They pump more than that station can handle.
So it can be overwhelmed.
Yeah. So currently,
yeah. Okay.
So if the Thermalito guys don't have their game right that day, they could overwhelm the SCORE pump station.
Right. Gotcha.
They don't do that. They typically have their game in right. order.
Yeah, but that, okay. That's part of what this upgrade is about, is bringing it up so it will handle everything that's, exactly. and all the new stuff that exactly. is supposedly coming down the pike then too.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rebuild, I believe the city has funds for that. I want to say 1.2 million or something like that. So
okay.
We're going ahead here, making a good deal. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions before the vote's taken? This should be a roll call vote.
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Yes, sir. Now, just for clarification, I apologize. I switched over to my computer in that period of time. I got it restarted. Was there a motion and a second on this item?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yes.
Mr. Fairbanks, second. We just had discussion before the vote was taken.
Perfect. Yeah, roll call vote would be appropriate.
Roll call vote.
Okay. Commissioner Fairbanks?
Yes.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatley?
Yes.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Item number 9 is Jacobs Engineering Contract Amendment Number 4 for Task Order Number 29.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So when the board decided to go with Coleman Engineering for the CM and the SDC on the, which the CM is construction management, SDC would be services during construction, for the influent pump station, he made an allotment in his contract for $44,000, $22,000 for the record drawings, $22,000 for the conform drawings. I'll try to explain what those are. Conform drawings are the drawings that the contractor will take into the field to build the pump station. It is the design plus the addendum during the bid phases. So anytime contractors had questions about what was the project, that went into an addendum on the bid, and that will now be added. Those answers to those will now be added to the plans, the conform documents. So those are the plans that actually get taken out into the field to build it. The record drawings are essentially as-built. They are what, after the contractor is done, they will be in communication with the engineers the whole time, and they will be writing out where everything actually is in the ground. That way in the future, we can pull out those drawings and go, yep, it's right here. Because sometimes the design doesn't match what actually happens in the end. This money has already been approved by you guys to go through the Coleman part of the contract and have Jacobs sub through Coleman. I was able to talk to Jacobs and I talked to Coleman about this. And if we do it where we directly contract with Jacobs, basically it gives us more access to Jacobs since they were the design engineer through this. And I won't have to pay Coleman to call Jacobs and then pay Jacobs. You know, we're saving money and it basically doing it this way. I only have one engineer working on one thing instead of two engineers going back and forth. So my recommendation is we just contract with Jacobs on this. Coleman doesn't have to deal with them in that regard, and hopefully it saves SCORE money.
Chairman Pittman, I have a question.
Please, go ahead.
So, and I know hindsight's always 20/20. So on this, with Jacobs, was this included in their original?
Nope. No,
okay.
Sir.
This would have been above and beyond regardless if we would have went with them or Coleman.
Yep.
Okay, that's all I have.
Yeah, and I don't understand why this, to me, this should be included. I mean, if you want to add the price, that's fine. But when I, and I'm learning all this as I go, obviously, but when you say this will take you all the way through, it doesn't. It's like, oh, well, then you're going to add on extra cost at the end of this thing. And so yeah, I'm getting caught by all these extra costs, but I wasn't aware. And to me, it seems like it should just be included, but it's not the way they do it. So
there's a picture that used to hang on the wall of the contractors exchange when I was on the board over there. And there was a little tiny dinghy boat that said original contract. and there was a huge yacht attached to it that said change orders.
I believe it. I believe it.
So without any more further questions, I'm looking for a motion for this issue.
I make a motion that we approve the contract amendment with Jacobs Engineering to provide conformed drawings as well as record drawings for the influent pump station project for an amount not to exceed $44,000.
I'll second it.
Motion second. I believe we have a roll call vote for that.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Fairbanks?
Yes.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatley?
Yes.
All right, moving on to item number agenda 10, contingency for the influent pump station project.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So apparently I did this in the wrong order. After going over and talking to some people, engineering and manager Boucher at Thermalito and their engineer, apparently I should have added a 10% contingency to the original number that Gateway Construction gave us. I guess that's pretty par for the course for these type of things. I wasn't aware of that, so I didn't do that. So I'm sorry about that. I won't make that mistake again. So I brought it. Manager Boucher over at Thermalito said, you still should bring it to him and ask him for it because you need it. So I took his advice. Also, in the same item, I wanted you guys to kind of have discussion about an amount for me to approve change orders. Currently, and Mr. Fairbanks and Mr. Reynolds, both being in the construction, know how this can work. If they get to a certain point and they need to do a change order and I can't give them an answer right then, it could cost us more money than the change order would actually cost by just having their crews not working forward on the project. I'm not asking for you guys to give me a crazy amount. That's why I didn't even put an amount in here. I want you guys to be comfortable with that amount and determine that. But I do feel like that here at SCORE, we should be able to, without calling a special meeting, approve a certain amount of change orders to keep the project rolling.
Recommendation, Mr. Manager, would to if this gets approved and change orders come up, send them to the attorney and have him send them to us, and that way we're up to speed all the time.
Yes, sir.
Rather than have to wait for a meeting or call them a special meeting, but understood. Send them through the attorney so we don't have a Brown Act
violation. Yes, sir.
I think that's a very good idea. Anyone else have any questions about it?
Well, no, I mean, it makes sense, and I don't know if you would say it was wrong or not. I mean, it's just you weren't used to doing it that way, and I don't think there was anything wrong with what you did originally. So this project is the one that's
7.1.45, yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm trying to think, and maybe the construction gentleman would be more apt to know these things. I mean, what kind of amounts are we looking at change orders on a $7 million project could be potentially?
We don't know what they're going to run into. As soon as they start digging, they might hit something that could be catastrophic. It depends on how good the records were when they originally came to this property.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Water. If I might make a recommendation, one of the things you may want to consider is giving the general manager Sturdivant a certain amount of latitude, and then anything over that it would require something to come back. If a change order, for example, were in the neighborhood of $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, even up to $30,000 on a $7 million project, or even up to $50,000 on a $7 million project, that wouldn't be out of the ordinary. Anything over that, obviously, would be something larger that could come back to you. Now, regardless of the change order amount, they will come back to you both by email, as was just requested, and for your ratification at a subsequent board meeting. But I think what Mr. Sturdivant was saying is accurate, which is there are some small items that come up that may be in what I'll call the small thousands, 10, 20, 30, 40,000, that can be done right away. You need to do it. There's no question about it. It's part of the project, so it's easier to just move it forward at that moment. So, you obviously have to be comfortable with whatever the ultimate number is. But, having said that, this is not anything out of the ordinary.
I would be okay with budgeting the $700,000, but you're right, we need to put a cap on what you can do, because and you'll be better off, you'll be a lot safer by coming to the
board. Yes sir.
And just go to the, again, come to the board through the attorney, so we don't have to all come down here.
Yep.
And we can answer through the attorney, give our opinions, and we'll be fine.
Understood.
I think, and actually, in some of the city projects, 10% has been pretty low. Many times when you're going underground, especially in Oroville, there's a lot of underground discoveries to be made. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Fairbanks mentioned, you don't know where the water table is today. Nobody knows until you get down and dig into it. So, and in this rock cobble, you really don't know what you're going to find.
That's true.
Just the pass has been 8 feet.
That's right. To speak to that, when they did the West Interceptor out here on Cal Oak Road, I believe there was around $200,000 in change orders for just dewatering it.
Yeah.
So we've been in a drought, so hopefully that's not the case for us. But
well, and that this rock cobble is all turned over soil from the dredging operation, so that's, you never know what you're going to find.
Exactly.
So if it pleases the board, I'd make a motion to approve $700,000 budget with the manager's authority not to exceed $25,000 for each incident without board approval.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any other questions about the motion before we vote on it? And we ask now, for this is policy, we just need a roll call, or we don't need a roll call on this, do we?
No, as long as you have a motion to second, you can just take
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. One question I have, what's the time schedule for the project?
Once we send them the letter to proceed, which I have all the documentation, everything is ready to go, we have a pre-construction meeting scheduled for August 17th. As soon as that's done, I will send them the letter to proceed. Once they get the letter proceed, they have 360 days to be done with the project. Okay. So
end of August, 1st of September.
Yeah, exactly. We should be done by the end of August, 1st of September of 2022.
Thank you. All right, agenda item number 11, the attorney's report. Anything for us, Mr. Huber?
Nothing separately, other than what I mentioned before. You will, again, we were happy to be saving the agency a little bit of money on the front end. Those will, again, when projects come up and that are document intensive, you will see some larger bills. But overall, you know, over the course of the year, you will see, I believe, a net reduction of your legal expenses.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Scott. And the service is absolutely incomparable.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Item number 12, manager's report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So no major issues in the operations or maintenance this month. The one thing that we haven't covered already that's on the manager's report here is I wanted to talk to you guys and see if you wanted me to spend any of my time and effort to look into a flexible scheduling, giving me the ability to maybe put the guys on 410s or something of that nature, depending on construction. And you know how this goes, Mr. Reynolds, sometimes they get into a phase where it's like, we're gonna work 712s to get this thing done, and I need to have the ability, without paying guys overtime, to have them work. Now, everyone here, they want to go to 410s permanently. That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that it would be good for me to have the ability to be flexible with their work hours. And originally, I came here thinking that I would just ask if I could do that. And then as I started digging into it and realizing that it just affects so much with vacations and holidays, and it's going to be some effort on my part to do it. And I just didn't want to know if you guys wanted me to spend that much time doing it for something that you might not value. So there's that. And then also part of the same thing is the ability to maybe have some of our employees work remotely if they are in a position where that's available for them. With the coronavirus thing, and there's only very few people that could even do that. And basically it's the environmental compliance supervisor. She could do it maybe a day or two a week. Micah could probably do it a day or two a week. I could probably do it a day or two a week. I would probably never do that, but I just was kind of thinking, after just going through this coronavirus, maybe I should have the ability to be flexible with people's schedules to accommodate these crazy times that we're living in. But once again, I didn't want
to spend a bunch of effort. I'll tell you my experience of, and I know this is different times, I guess, different situations, but our employees are employees. Whenever I allowed the working remote, it was awfully hard for them to get back to the job site.
It's always hard to come back.
Yes. Yeah, because we just get settled in with that mindset. So if you want to make it hard on yourself, then you can entertain those special circumstances.
Gotcha.
But I think you'll be making it hard on yourself. It's easier when things are cut and dry and we know what to expect.
Yes, sir.
I want to echo something too, and I'm not sure how the, as far as the employees here in the labor laws, I know they don't have a contract, correct? Like a memorandum of understanding?
Nope, we have a new MOU.
So for my employees, I can't like make them flex their schedule if it's been approved in lieu of paying overtime. If things come up, I can't say, oh, well, you had to work an extra 4 hours. I'm not gonna pay you. Take 4 hours off early tomorrow. I can't do that.
Yeah, we don't have a CTO policy here at all, so that's not even an option here.
I think it's a state requirement because it's daily on our company too.
Anything over 8 hours, you have to pay overtime.
Yeah, unless you have a contract that states otherwise. Yes.
So yeah, I just didn't know because you mentioned about doing certain things without having to pay them overtime. I didn't know how that would actually go with the.
Exactly, and that's why I was, and that's the kind of stuff that I ran into and went, oh, this is going to take some work, some research, probably Mr. Huber involved to make sure that if we did it, we did it legally. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that there was that much work involved, I was like, I can't just spend 30 hours of this on this without their permission. I should be doing other things. So I felt like I owed it to you guys to bring it to you and ask you if it was even, if you even wanted to spend my time doing it.
The other thing that I come up with is if it isn't broke, don't fix it. So is it broken right now or is it?
No, I mean broken, no. No.
No.
Is there some holes that can be filled? Probably, but broken by no means.
Okay. I mean, I just think I'm sure you have some flexibility in what you can and can't do as the manager as far as things, so I don't. There's some things I'm like that.
I mean, our policy states that I can have them as long as it's not over 8 hours, because that's overtime, obviously. But midnight to midnight is their schedule based on what I want to do. So, I mean, we could, in that situation, I could have one guy coming in at 6 and one guy stay until noon, till 6 at night to accommodate a 12-hour shift.
Right.
I mean, we wouldn't necessarily have to go about it this way.
Okay. So you already have the ability to do that?
I have the ability to have them work any hours I want them to work as long as it's not over 8, and then I got to pay them overtime.
And we utilize that during storm season.
Big time.
Right. Because we have to. We have to have somebody here when we have everything online, because if something goes down, we have major issues. So we need that manpower here.
I think it's a good discussion to have, and I think the board is looking at the manager to have the flexibility that you have. And down the line, if the entire group has an idea about something, then it could be addressed so that it's equal and fair to everybody.
Gotcha.
Leave it like that. One question I have is, did the recent power outage go out here?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. It was off for, 12 hours, I think, altogether.
It was supposed to be 4 hours.
Supposed to be 4 hours, yeah. I called and talked to PG&E. I told them I wasn't happy. They were costing us $165 an hour to run the plant, because that's what it costs to run the in power and the diesel fuel. Yeah. And, they don't care. but they're still going to get my opinion, whether they care about it or not. So.
Yeah. Well, we all had, I got a letter saying, 1 o'clock to 5, and we're all waiting for 5 to come back on, and it was, 10 o'clock in the day?
10:30, and then it went back out like 2 minutes after that, and then it came back on here at 12:30 till about 2:30, and then it went back off till 4:30.
It was not helpful.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, thank you. Any other questions of manager? Good. Visitor comments? Not seeing any out in the room. Commissioner and staff comments. Anyone, commissioners, have a comment? I'd just like to welcome Bruce Riston to the board.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to my time down here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've enjoyed my time at Thermalito, and this is a kind of another step in the process of retirement and then not being retired. So, no, I really look forward to working with everybody here, and it's a good group of people, and
cool.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll bring up an issue that I was doing the warrants with the manager Sturman the other day, and he had a conversation about the idea of how we could potentially utilize the outflow from here, the 2.5 million gallons a day, mm-hmm. and find some use for it. Maybe have it valuable and somebody pay us for it. So I brought up the issue with him that he might want to check out the Orange County Water District down in Orange County as a potential visit, maybe for he and his staff, and maybe one of the commissioners might want to go, because that's in fact what they do there. I, with Jamie Johansson and Tom Fitzpatrick, traveled down there one day and got the entire tour. They are very proud of their system, and they are the true toilet to tap. They take water from the sewer plant next door, they filter, clean it, and then they turn around and sell it to Anaheim, Huntington Beach, and all those cities. If you ever went to Disneyland, you had toilet water. I guarantee it.
So we've had this discussion before down here, and hopefully things have changed, and hopefully we got the correct information at that time. But at the time, it was basically told that the water runs out. Soon as it comes out of your pipe, it's no longer yours.
Right.
And the only way that at that time that we could turn around and try to sell the water would be is if we stored it and then was able to release it when we wanted to. It basically was, that goes out that line and it's no longer yours, so you can't sell it. So unless something's changed, or there's a way to work that.
So that's accurate. Once it gets to the river, though, is because basically that's the state of California's pipe. So once it goes into their pipe, then they sell it to who they want to sell it. But they're selling your guys' water. They're selling the community of Oroville's water, in my mind. You paid to pump it out of the ground. You paid to treat it, and then you drank it. And then you paid to pump it here, and then treat it again, and then pump it to the river. To me, it's your guys' water. Me and Micah are going to try to turn over every stone to figure out how we can keep that water, or at least the money from that water, in this community. And right now, I believe, is the time to do it. You know how California is. If we get a big winter, we're going to be out of the drought. Everything's going to be great. We don't need to worry about water anymore, because this is what they do every time. So our thought process, we've talked to Ray Souza, because he was the one that led that charge last time. And we're going to start making these contacts. And we think that there's movement right now. We've been getting, Thermalito was put on a list that they might cancel your guys' water rights that they've had. You guys
before 1914.
Before 1914. I mean, they're canceling people's water rights that they've had for over 100 years right now because of the water situation. So we're looking at it going, we're giving them 2.5 million gallons of water a day that they're selling, that they're making money on, your water. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's our goal. And we think the answer is similar to what they're doing in Orange County, groundwater injection. That way it's not in that river. It's not the state's ever.
And that's
right back in your aquifer.
A case example where they're actually selling that water. They get $200 an acre foot for it, and they take it, they treat it, filter it, and the plant is the key. The way the plant's set up, that would be, we don't have to be a guinea pig. That's where they're selling the water. They're selling it for $200 an acre foot to those cities. But they don't transport it by pipe, they do run it through the aquifer. And I just suggest they go down and visit that plant and find out what they're doing there.
So essentially those cities buy water credits, and then Orange County pumps those water credits into the ground, and then those cities pull them out of the ground over here.
And they're pumping it 70 million gallons a day. So that was 10 years ago. So I just suggest if somebody's doing it right, that's mm-hmm. a good place to go.
So they're not storing the water then, they're actually taking the water, filtering it, and then pumping it from there directly into the ground. So they don't have a bunch of what, you know, 200,000 gallon storage tanks or anything like that.
Well, their main purpose, the water district purpose, was to hold back the saltwater intrusion into the aquifer. That was the original purpose of that water district. And then they developed this process there. I might add, it's a public water district that has no debt.
Mr. Chairman, it's my wife's birthday. I got to be at dinner.
So. Okay, all right.
Yeah, you better go.
It's all very exciting.
Yeah, you better go.
See you later, sir.
See you next time, Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah. I just want to bring that up because I suggested to them that whenever they find out, it would be, I think, a very worthwhile trip. I made the trip with Jamie Johansson and Tom, and we found out it was a very reasonable idea. It's conceptually that you could provide the water to TID, California Water Service, or whatever. I mean, that's happening all over the place. And it might be a politically good idea that we're reusing and, and reclaiming the water.
Definitely.
And bringing it back to the community versus dumping it down the river.
Exactly. So. Yeah, our goal, mine and Micah's goal, has always been to get SCORE to be as close to self-sustainable as possible.
Right.
And whether that's selling our water, selling our biosolids, whatever, exactly. Whatever we got to do to upgrade the solar.
For sure. I upgrade remember the having solar. This discussion thinking, boy, all that water's going in and we can't. And they're like, nope, you, that's not yours. Yeah, you can store it and then sell it. And we're like,
right.
That's so much money going out that pipe into the river that yeah. we did nothing
and,
for.
And I would, if it, one of the commissioners is interested, I've already been there, so I don't need to go, but you might find it's a fly down, visit the tour, come back the same day. It's fascinating because they do high pressure filtration, reverse osmosis, ultraviolet, then they adjust the pH. And they're doing it 70 million gallons a day. And they fully automated the plant. They used to have 12 people running it. They only need 3 to run it now.
Wow.
So it's a fascinating thing, and that's the new standard. They also filter out pharmaceuticals and all orchard waste there. That's how detailed they get, so might be something to look at. We don't have to invent the wheel. I just want to raise that. I know he's going to be looking at it where we're coming from there. Okay, we have adjournment then. Anyone else has anything else to comment? Question?
I was just going to mention, I think it's already in the environmental report, but our laboratory is being audited by the Regional Water Quality Control Board, ELAB. And I just make you aware of that because we're always under the gun with the state, and they are our regulator, and
yep.
So we try to mind our P's and Q's, and they keep us in check. So that's happening here in August.
And that's every 2 years.
That's a new thing for the laboratory only.
Every 2 years when we apply for.
See any issues or anything, do you?
No, it's our chemist's first time going through an audit.
Okay.
It's the first time in at least probably 5 years since we've been audited, 4 or 5 years. Since the lab's been audited. So it'll be a learning curve for all of us.
Right, okay. But I mean, as far as there's no issues in the lab
nope.
that you've
no.
got to repair or fix or...
Not that we know of yet.
No.
Right, okay.
And typically, in our experience, you know, people are people. The state comes down here and everyone freaks out and gets scared. But if you treat them with kindness and respect,
right. sure.
they'll let you know what you need to get to them in a timely manner. And
yeah,
as long as you do it, we've never had issues with it.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about
you're
it.
Right. That's the key with the state is treat them. Don't
yeah.
turn it into a hospital.
Yes, man.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah. Exactly. And I the same though I treat the state and our regulators the same way I treat Jamie from Thermalito or Scott from we're all on the same team. Our
right.
goal is the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys are just our watchdog. I'm not mad at you. You're doing your job. We're
right.
we're trying to do our job. So,
mm-hmm.
We're not worried about it. We're not worried about any audits or anything here.
Good. With that, I will call for adjournment at 5:38 hours. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, did we suck the no. signature card?
Yeah, this, you have the signature card, and I have these ones. I can send this one around. I'll have to get with Commissioner Reynolds tomorrow. Then we think we have the signature card.
Yeah, I did this one right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a good luck charm, Bruce. We can.
This is the quickest one yet, right?
Yeah,
this was really quick. I'm thinking, wow.
We were excited when we put this agenda together.
Yeah,
we were like,
that I went, oh, shoot. This is going to be quick. There's only like 3 items, really, almost at that point. Yeah, that's funny you brought up the attorneys. So I saw that and I'm like, boy, that has to be savings, especially mm-hmm. if it's February to May. I'm like, there is that. And so I was questioning it. Well, I was going to question, is it always going to be like a 4-month cycle? But obviously it isn't. But yeah, I was
pleasantly
surprised when I saw that.
Let me not put the signature card in
there.
Oh,
there it is.
There you go.
Did you approve the new developments?
Which ones?
The housing that you were talking about last time, 1,600 houses?
The Housing Authority, yes. The Housing Authority in partnership with, actually 1,900.
Oh, 1,900.
Yeah, 1,900 in Butte County that are all within the 2-3 year scope of time.
This is just a signature card.
We should have talked to you about that. Should I just go to their office?
The Housing Authority?
Yeah.
Of course, you give your card.
All right. I haven't forgot you.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys collect these things and do something with them?
Okay, great.
We'll recycle them.
Toss them.
We'll recycle them.
Yeah.
Oops.
Excellent.
And Commissioner Riston and Hatley, I have a signature card for you real quick.
Oh, okay.
Because we added Commissioner Riston, we have to do a new signature card every time.
Do you want to submit these?
No, Lori will date it.
Okay.
Here's, let me get that one.
Do I need to sign this?
Yes, one too.
Okay.
One of these days, I'll get these signature things out around during the meeting. Sorry.
Yeah, I forgot about too. Lori reminded me this morning. She didn't forget Bruce, though. We got to make sure, what if Bruce wasn't on the agenda, so I had to make sure to bring that up.
Yeah?
Yeah, we were.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
So you're retired now?
Yeah, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I retired completely from the DA's office, actually in 17. And then I got my PI license, and now I do actually criminal defense work.
Take care,
so.
See you later, Trevor. Thanks.
Thanks. So you jumped the fence.
Yeah, I jumped the fence. Well, I'm just a finder of fact. It only keeps me busy maybe 15 hours a week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, some weeks not at all, and other weeks 20 hours, you know, but nothing that I can't hear. I still got time for my afternoon nap.
Oh, that's important.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's yeah. What you call your special meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to tell him what time I take my afternoon nap. Yeah.
Yeah, I already got back. This one's here.
Special meetings usually take longer than
I just, I can't sit around. I got to be busy doing something. Ran for, you know, Thermalito and, you know, to stay. Just, you know, I'm concerned and I care about what happens, of course, you know, but it also gives me something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
like, have a good one, Commissioner Fairbanks. See you next time.
I don't take any divorce cases or, you know, I stay away from that stuff. I don't want to get shot by some, you know, mad husband. Yeah. Or anything like that, so. I stay away from those.
That's good.
All right.
Well, see you later.
Take care, Mr. Richard.
Thank you. Yep.
Is Scott still on there?
He is.
Oh, bye, Scott.
I'm still on. Have a good